we're going to talk about in the book of James this morning. If you'll turn to your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to read a few short verses right there, 1 through 4, and I promise I won't keep you long. Be praying for Justin and his family as he's out this morning, and Whitney is sick, and everything. Just pray that God gives him wisdom on knowing exactly how to bring healing to her. But kind of speaking of that God still hears us, you know, in our cries and in our sorrow and in our pain. Really, this time of year for a lot of people, it's a very depressing time of year. The Christmas season, a lot of times people are left alone. A lot of times during this time, people have feel like they have nowhere to turn to, and they're left with depression. In fact, the suicide rates are higher at this time of year than any other time, and the very reason is because people feel like they are alone. And I can't help but tell you, I've got good news this morning, that we are not alone, that God is with us. God stays closer than a brother, he says, to us. And if we just cling close to his voice, I promise it'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. If you would at this time, stand with us just for the reading of God's word. I'll read James chapter 1 in verses 1 through 4 very quickly. Then you can be seated, and then we'll go to God in prayer. It says this, James writing this, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, he says. Then here we see the prayer of faith. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What I want to speak to you about this morning is the purpose of testing. The purpose of testing in our lives. Of course, like I said, during this time of year can be very troubling for a lot of people. And it seems as though the hand of God has come out against us sometimes. In fact, it is said that the devil can sometimes come along and distract us and discourage us from the truth of God's word. And that's exactly what happens a lot of times during the purpose or during times of trials and testings. And so God has laid this message upon my heart this morning to help and remind you that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He will sit closer to you than a brother, and it's going to help you to understand exactly what God is trying to do in your life in the very midst of tests. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, so much. God, that when we cry out, God, Lord, when we cry out to you, God, you hear us. God, you don't turn a deaf ear to your people. And so, God, I ask you, Lord, in this time, God, Lord, it's not in my words, it's not in me, but God, I pray, Lord, it's in your spirit, that maybe there is somebody here this morning that needs to hear God's word, that needs to hear this message preached, that maybe, Lord, they feel times, Lord, in their life that they're alone. God, in times, Lord, they feel like they can't turn to anybody. Maybe they're going through a trial or fixing to go through a trial. God, I ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts for it this morning, to have us to be ready to where we can stay focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and we will thank you for all that you do, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I can't help but just be reminded of a lot of the parents that went through this holiday and were celebrating Christmas, celebrating the new year without their kids in their lives. Of course, we reminded of the shooting that happened there in Connecticut. And I can't help but sometimes in our lives, it's normal. I don't think that it's wrong. I think it's normal to ask why. God, why in the world would you allow something like this to happen and allow this tragedy to happen, especially in a child? You see, it's kind of normal as we get older. We get in our older age and older years. It's normal to die. But for a child to die way too young, it seems abnormal. And so really, we ask the question, God, what is the very reason that you're trying to, what are you trying to show me? What is the reason that you are allowing this to come in my life? And really, if you think about it, we are fixing to go into a brand new year. 2013, we survived December 21st, 2012, and I can say amen this morning. And we are fixing to go into a brand new year, and we don't know what the year is, it holds for us. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs that don't boast over tomorrow because we don't know what a day may bring. And so literally, we don't know what a year in this next 2013, what this year will bring. For some of us, this year may bring death in a family. For some of us, it may be a long-lost loved one or a good friend that has gone on to be with the Lord in the year 2013. Maybe during this time, since the economy is bad, we can say that we may lose our jobs or we may be jobless this year in 2013. Who's to say that just in our own lives, personal lives, that our world cannot come crashing down? We don't know what holds for tomorrow, but I do know this, that Jesus holds tomorrow. Jesus holds it, and since He created it, He holds it in the palm of His hand. Nothing takes the Lord Jesus by surprise. It is all in His control, and we can say amen to that this morning. Well, I'm reminded just as a little kid, maybe you can just think back with me for a second. Think back to when you were a little kid, around maybe the age of 8 or 9 years old, however it took you long to ride a bicycle for the very first time. Everybody remember that? Isn't that a great memory? And you remember as you were that little tyke and that little boy or that little girl, and you were trying to ride a bicycle for the first time, and your mom and dad would possibly put training wheels on the back tire. Or perhaps maybe your mom or dad would begin to hold the back of the bicycle as you began to pedal. And as you began to pedal, they began to let go. And you look almost like a newborn baby giraffe, you know, that's just, you know, kind of shaking, you know, trying to walk for the very first time. And then you perhaps fall down and scrape your knees, or you scrape your elbows, or perhaps like me, a lot of times I've got scars everywhere on my body just because of the rambunctious life that I lived as a kid. And I can't help but remember the very purpose for mom and dad to be back there, the very purpose for those training wheels to be on the back tires was to help you and prepare you for what's coming. And what was coming was so that you could ride that bicycle all by yourself. Well, I don't know about you. In my neighborhood, it was a big thing to have the coolest bicycle in the world. You know, I remember just when I was little, I guess I was about 10 years old, everybody had these brand new, you know, 18 speeds and, you know, all these, you know, sorts of nice little bikes. I had like one of those like ugly looking banana seat bikes. You know, I wasn't too cool back then. You know, thanks mom, thanks dad. I wasn't too cool back then, but I remember I was riding around just with my buddies. And I remember they challenged us right here outside of the Chickamauga National Park here. They had challenged us to ride down this big steep hill. Man, this thing looked like Mount Everest to me. Okay, at 10 years old, everything I guess looks big. But I remember as we were on top of it, everybody was riding down. And as everybody would rode down, I was the very last one to go. Okay, and I was like, well, I think I can do this. I think I can do this. You know, so I kind of, you know, started to pedal down, and as soon as I start to pedal down, I got a little bit top heavy, and about halfway down the hill, I hit this stump, and when I hit this stump, I go over and dive over and land and have dirt in my mouth, and all the guys are laughing at me, and it was just a crazy, crazy time, you know, and we think about this. It all began with training wheels. It all began with mom and dad gently holding your bike steady to help you to ride that bicycle successfully in life. And you think that's exactly what God does in our life. That God allows testing in your life. That God allows That's the purpose of testing. God allows these things to happen in our lives so that it can balance us out and steady us when the real trials of life may come our way. It prepares us in the sense. And here, I'm reminded of a story by a man named F.B. Meyer. He uses a great illustration, and I really enjoy this, and I hope you get a blessing out of it. He uses this illustration of a beehive to compare the struggles of bees to that of the Christian life. And he says this. He says, a bookkeeper told me the story of a hive, how when the little bee is in the first stage, it is put in a hexagonal cell. And honey enough is stored there for its use until it reaches its maturity. And the honey there is sealed with a capsule of wax, and when the tiny bee has fed itself on the honey and exhausted the supply, the time has come for it to emerge into the open. But, oh, the wrestle and the tussle and the straining to get through that wax was tough. It is a straight gate for the bee, so straight that in the agony of exit, the bee rubs off the membrane that hid his wings, and on the other side, he is able to fly. And he tells of a story how once a moth had got into the hive and fed upon the wax capsules that were there. And the bees got out without any strain, and he got out with any trouble. But the thing is, he couldn't fly. And the other bees had stung him literally to death. You think about that. Are you congratulating yourself on having an easy time? No hardness, no difficulties, no cross to bear. And all these things we imagine, we're just living the good life. Well, I can tell you this morning, beware lest the bees, you lose your wing power and perish miserably in the dust. You think about it this morning. God has to allow some testing to come to our lives. He has to, in order to gain our focus and place our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you is this morning. Are you going through a trial this morning? Are you going through something that you cannot even speak about this morning? Is your family perhaps going through a trouble or a trial this morning? Understand, God allows that disappointment in your life to become a divine appointment to help you to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I simply want to speak to you this morning about the purposes of testing. If you'll hang with me, I'm going to talk to you about three purposes to when we are tested. And the first one we find is here in verse 2 of James chapter 1. And it simply is this: the first testing, or the first purpose to when we are tested, is to move us, is to move us. I encourage you to write this down. He says right here, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he says, greeting. But here in verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. He says to count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. Understand that testing, it begins to jolt us out of our comfort zone. That's exactly what testing does. It begins to grab our attention in such a way where all we can do sometimes is begin to look up to God. Say, God, help me. God, I can't do this on my own. Testings jolt us out of our comfort zone and ruts that we get settled in. They provoke reactions in our life. It doesn't matter who you are. Whenever you're tested, it's going to provoke some sort of reaction. Some reactions are going to be the blame game, where they begin to blame it upon God and say, God, why is it that you are allowing me to go through this? God, I can't believe that you would allow this to happen to me. And we begin the blame game upon God, and we hold God fault, and therefore we get out of church, we stop reading God's word, we even stop praying sometimes because of our anger towards the Lord. The way we respond tells us really a great deal about our spiritual maturity and our spiritual reaction. I'm reminded of a story, Old Testament story, two stories I'm reminded of. It's in the book of Job, If you remember, very, very familiar with Job. Job had lost his family, he had lost his fortune, and looked like that he had lost his future. Everybody around Job even said, Job, curse God and die. He had lost his health, he had lost his wealth, he had lost everything that in our lives that we would be proud to have. Therefore, Job had never cursed God, but he trusted the Lord. He asked why sometimes, which I believe is okay. But understand, Job was placed through that to prepare him for something else in his life. I'm reminded of a story of the book of Daniel and how these childlike stories, if you remember reading as we were growing up, how Daniel, because he didn't take of the king's meat, he was cast in the den of lions. And if you remember the story there, he was cast in the den of lions for not taking part of the king's meat. And what did God do? God began to shut the mouths of the lions where Daniel was protected. Now, a lot of people would complain and argue just over the fact that they were in the den rather than being delivered from what should have happened to them. Does that make sense this morning? And in fact, that's what happens a lot of times in our lives. And here in verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, the word fall there literally means to be thrown in the middle of and surrounded by. A lot of times when we fall into divers temptations or we fall, a lot of times it feels as though the whole world is upon our shoulders. Does it not? It feels as though nobody really cares. Your problem's not that big of a deal. You'll get through it. And you know, we can say that to each other. Oh, you know, everything will be okay. Well, in reality, it feels like everything's not going to be okay. That's why we really need each other. We really need each other to help send a word of encouragement or try to maybe make a phone call of encouragement or whatever it may be, a scripture verse of encouragement. You know, I'm very lucky to have some mentors in my life. And one great mentor that I appreciate in my life is Lonnie Satterfield. Lonnie Satterfield calls me from time to time and he'll send me scripture verses. We'll talk about the Bible. In fact, we did last night and we began discussing scripture. And I thank God for Lonnie. I really do. I thank God that God just sends along my side whenever I'm discouraged or whenever I'm broken. That it seems like that whenever I need that most, that God begins to send somebody my way. Understand that it's just the grace of God in our lives this morning. Lonnie, I'm telling you, I'm thankful for you. Sometimes God will send him along the way to send scripture my way or give me encouragement or help me understand something I'm struggling with in my life. And when it seems as though everybody is surrounding us, maybe everybody comes up against us, maybe there's things in our life that we see that seems just not fair, I'm telling you, if you set your eyes upon the Lord, He will give you the peace that passes all understanding, and it will cause you never to ask why, but it'll cause you to ask, Lord, what can I do for your glory? And I'm thankful for that this morning. It causes to move us. It moves us out of our comfort zone and places us in a type of place where it's not so comfortable, but where we can, I know that we can handle it when we trust in the Lord. It causes us to move us, but not only causes us to move, and it causes us to move, it also causes the second purpose to when we are tested is to mellow us, not only to move us, but to mellow us. Now, I'm a hyper guy. I'm ADHD to the core. Took medicine when I was a kid. I'm just very, very hyperactive. Sometimes it's good just to sit back and just begin to mellow out just a little bit. In other words, God sometimes just said, chill out. You know, take a back seat for a minute and chill out. This is what he says. He says, my brethren, count it all joy that when you fall into divers temptations, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Worketh patience, he says. The trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, that is why James says to count it all joy, he says. How in the world can we count testings and trials? How can we count those things as joy? Because I tell you what, if you're like me, it's not a lot of fun going through some trials. In fact, a lot of times I hate the trials and I hate the things that I go through, but it is needed in each and every one of our lives. And so that's why James says to count it all joy when these testings are come. They aren't just trials that happen for no reason, but it is controlled by a loving Father that is molding us and shaping us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, understand this morning, God cares too much for your life to harm your life. And God is too wise to make any wrong mistakes in your life. I'm reminded of what Psalm chapter 46 in verse 10 says, and he simply says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And I'm reminded, if you remember, Satan was not allowed to touch Job. If you remember that, Satan was not allowed to touch him, but he was just allowed to afflict him. It was in the very divine control of God's nature to provide protection over him, to just allow some testing to come upon his life to see what Job would do. And so I'm reminded that God says he allows these testings in your life, not only to move you out of that comfort zone, but not only to move you, but also to mellow you, to get you to sit still. Recognize the situation. Recognize exactly what's going on in your life. But lastly, not only to move us, and not only to mellow us, but thirdly here, he says to mature us. "My brethren, count it all joy that when you fall in divers temptations," he says, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it works patience in your life. But," he says this, "but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, if you're a word nerd, just like Brother David says, and you like to do some word studies, the word perfect there indicates something that has reached its end, something that is finished, something that is being done with, something that is done. It carries the idea of being fully developed. In fact, it is a farmer's type of term that is used here for the word mature here. And here, it's the idea of a farmer. You think about what a farmer actually has to do. Farmer has to begin to till the soil. And as he begins to till the soil, he is preparing the soil to handle the seed. And as he begins to till the soil, he'll begin spreading the seed out. And as that seed lands among good, soft soil, he begins to cover that seed up. And as it's covered up, he begins to water it. He begins to let the sun shine upon it. He begins to let the wind begin to blow. And all these things begin to take place in the farmer's life. But he has to sit back and wait for that crop to fully develop and that crop to fully grow. And the purpose for it, guys, is this. Is God allows that, or that farmer allows that to happen because that crop is no good to him unless it is fully developed and it is fully matured. Now, this is the picture that we get in our lives. That God sometimes begins to till the soil of our lives in such a way where sometimes digging upon our lives, it hurts and it doesn't feel good. But God begins to till the soil of our hearts and our lives so that He can plant the Word of God in our lives, that when the Word of God is planted in our lives, it'll help us and mature us to cause us to be the men and women that God wants you to be. That is the picture this morning, that God so much desires for you to be like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will allow trials, God will allow testing, God will allow your life to be tilled upon, so to speak, so that He can make you and mold you to be more like Christ. And I can say amen to that. That God loves us so much that He doesn't want us to stay in the same position that we are in today. He doesn't want us to remain here in our comfortable seat. So God begins to shake. God begins to allow those things to happen in our lives so that He can mold us and make us to be more like Christ. So that when we are fully developed, God can begin to use us in a unique way to reach a lost and dying world for His glory. Wow, what great, great thought that is this morning. I want you to write this down. This is a great quote. And it simply says this, that patience always leads to perfection, but only if you permit it. Patience always leads to perfection, but only when you permit it in your life. I like what John Phillips says. John Phillips is a great Christian writer and teacher of our day. And John Phillips says this. He says, trials are not electives in God's school. They are required courses. Sooner or later, testings will come. They are not intended to give God an opportunity to see how we are doing, but to let us see how far we have come or failed to come. You can close your Bibles. I want to share just one last story with you to help illustrate exactly what we're talking about this morning, and that's simply the purpose of testing in your life. I'm reminded of a plane, and this one particular time as this plane began to take off in flight, this plane began to experience a lot of turbulence, a lot of wind, and a lot of rain and lightning that was striking all around them. And if you've ever been in a plane, you could probably imagine times of turbulence. It's a little bit scary. It begins to rock and it begins to drop. And it literally is a little bit of a scary time. Well, I'm reminded of a story about this little boy and this little bit older of a lady, and they were sitting right next to each other. And as they were sitting right next to each other, the wind was blowing the plane around, the lightning was striking all around, the rain was pouring down upon the plane, and this little boy was sitting right in that seat next to her, and he was playing and having a good time and kicking on the seat, rocking back and forth, just not a care in the world. Well, this lady naturally becomes a little irritated, you know, and she becomes irritated, and as she becomes irritated in such a way, she looks and grabs the boy by the hand. She said, "Son, why are you so happy? And why is it that you can be just at peace and at rest when it feels like we're about to die?" She said, "How in the world do you do it?" And the little boy looks at the older lady. He says, "Simply as this, honey." He says, "My daddy is the pilot. I can trust in him. My daddy is the pilot." Can I tell you this morning that God has everything in control? I've discovered that in my own life. That God has everything in control, that it doesn't matter what happens in my life in 2013. Doesn't matter what life is taken away. It doesn't matter what trials may come my way. It doesn't even matter if I begin losing my own job here at Parkway Baptist Temple. You know what I can do this morning? Is I can trust in an ever-loving Father that begins to allow trials and temptations to come in your life to prove one of those three things and to help you to see it, to move you. It's not only to move you, but it's to help mature you in your life. You can trust an almighty God in your life for the trials and temptations that come your way. Because you know why? As this journey that we're on, it may get rocky and it may get bumpy, but you know what? Our daddy, our Abba Father, is our pilot. Can we say amen to that? Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Father in heaven, I thank you so much, God, as we began to go into a time, Lord, of singing, Lord, in a time of invitation. God, you've preached your message, Lord, to your people. And I'm asking you this morning, Lord, that you would begin to speak to people's hearts, Lord, with your spirit in such a way. God, that you would begin to help us, God, that you would remind us, God, that you do it because you do it to move us, to mellow us, but God, to mature us, to fully develop us. God, if there's one need here today, God, maybe there is one here that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to make you the pilot of their life. That when the rocks of life begin to fall down our way, God, that we don't run away from you. We don't run away from our situation. But God, we stay grounded upon the promises and precepts of the Word of God. Help us in this time, God, as we prepare, Lord, for your invitation. Help those to come, Lord, that is in need. And God, help us to walk out of here reminded of your grace and your goodness. And it's ultimately for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.